Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate the gift of the Holy Ghost. But we must always bear in mind that when we talk about the Holy Ghost, we're not talking about some free-floating power that flops down on us from the clouds. We are talking about God Himself, who manifests Himself among us by means of His Word and sacraments. You don't get the Holy Ghost by dancing around an altar. You don't get the Holy Ghost by exercising the enthusiasm of your mind and attitude. You receive the Holy Ghost by hearing the Word of God in faith, because that is the vehicle by which the Holy Ghost comes to us through the very Word of His own that He inspired. Jesus said, "If a man love me, he will keep my word." To keep means to treasure, to guard, to hold, to believe, teach, and confess, and to practice. If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father and I will come to him and make our abode with him. In other words, the word of the Lord is the means by which the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost come to us with their grace, mercy, and gifts. So, if we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must go where the Holy Spirit is given, to the Word and to the sacraments that Christ has instituted. There, the Holy Ghost is present, and there, He is shedding forth on us what we need. Now, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus says, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, we may understand this promise in a twofold manner. First of all, what this promise meant to the apostles to whom it was spoken first. To the apostles, it meant that the Holy Spirit of God would teach them everything that they needed to know to carry out their apostolic ministry. That is, to their acting as representatives, agents of Jesus Christ. And so he says, he will teach you all things, and he will cause you to remember everything that I have said unto you. So that the apostles were promised by Jesus that the Holy Ghost would cause them to recall the entire ministry and all the teaching and preaching of Jesus, so that they could accurately transmit it to those to whom they preached. So he will cause you to remember everything that I have said unto you. Now, so they had the divine promise that the Holy Ghost would make their teaching to be the foundation upon which the church is built. All right? Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, what does this mean for us? We know that the apostles had this promise. What does this mean for us? This means when we use the apostolic word, that is, when we make use of the Bible. Right? The inspired Word of God. The Holy Ghost breathed communication of God to man. When we use this book, the message of this book, it is how we receive the Holy Ghost. And it is how we are brought to the faith. And it is how we are kept in the faith. Remember Nicodemus? He came to Jesus by night and he thought he had really achieved some kind of big revelation. He said, "We know, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, because no one can do the things that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus looks at him and says, "Unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Nicodemus is utterly mystified. What? All right, here's a guy, he's an advanced theologian. He's a prominent guy. He's on the Sanhedrin. He's practically like a congressman, right? He's a big deal. And Jesus says, "Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." You don't see it, do you, Nick? Right? That's what he said. "You don't see it, do you?" And Nicodemus is like, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? I just don't understand this. Jesus said, "Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So you have to be born of the Spirit. Well, how do you do that? By using the Word and the sacraments. Because that's where the Holy Ghost is. He inspired the Word. He preserved the Word. He has enabled you to hear it and believe it. And it is through the Word that He grants you faith and assurance and wisdom and understanding and knowledge of God. So therefore, the first thing that the Holy Ghost does in the life of Christians is that He causes them to have faith in the Word of God and all of the comforts that faith receives from the Word by grace through faith. All right? Now, the second thing, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What is the world's peace? The world's peace is when things are going the way you want them to go. That's the peace that the world can give. It's when things cooperate with your plans and everything falls into place, then people of the world say that they have peace. You know, and everybody in the world can remember those times in life where everything they did seemed to like be right in the pocket. Right in the pocket, like a pitcher in a baseball game when he's throwing it right down Broadway. And every pitch is hitting just right, you know. And he's striking one out after the other and he's in the pocket. Well, that's the way the world thinks of peace. All right? When things are going my way, and when I feel like I'm right in the pocket and everything is going my way, then I experience peace. I'm happy and I'm tranquil because I have outward earthly peace. But Jesus says, "The peace that I give you is a peace that is different from the world." It is different from the world because it comes from another source. And it's different from the world because it's not dependent upon cooperating outward circumstances. Let's take a look at that for a second. The peace that Jesus is talking about here is that sense of the gracious presence of God in my life and the gracious mercy of God extending over me. And the promises of God comforting my heart so that I feel beloved and cared for. This is that subjective experience of spiritual peace. Where does it come from? It comes from the fact that Jesus Christ suffered death on the cross to end the war between God and sinners. Jesus has made peace with God for you through his sacrificial death and resurrection. And now there is an objective fact about you, an objective fact. God is at peace with you. God is become your friend. God is graciously disposed toward you, which was not the case when you were outside of and apart from Christ. But because of Christ, what he did, what he accomplished, making peace, reconciliation between God and sinners, you have an objective fact that you can lay hold of. God loves me and gave his son for me. And therefore, I am blessed in Christ. And this is true even when I get a bad diagnosis. Even when I lose my job, even when money troubles plague me, even when ill health gets to me, even when my family and friends do not sympathize with my confession of faith, no matter what the outward circumstances are, there is an objective fact between me and God, and that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And therefore, I have peace with God. And therefore, I experience that peace in a quiet assurance of God's grace, mercy, and help, no matter what my outward circumstances are. You know, there are times when things go your way. And there are times when it all hits the fan and you don't know what's coming next. There are times when fear raises its head, anxiety, trouble. But you may still live in the assurance that God has gracious plans for you. Because Christ has made peace between you and God. God is not mad at you. God is not out to get you. God loves you. And he is taking you to heaven. And he is leading you by a road that ultimately leads there. All right? And so therefore, you have an otherworldly peace. A peace rooted in the objective act of Christ and given to you as a gift. Faith lays hold of the objective fact and therefore overcomes the world. So I may have adversity, I may have trouble, I may have doubts, I may have all these things swimming around making my life in the daily miserable, but I have something that never goes away. God's love in Christ for me and his verdict, you are saved by grace through faith. So let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now the last thing I want to talk about this morning is Jesus said these words. He says, you've heard how I said to you, I go away and come again to you. He's talking there about his death and his resurrection. I go away and I come again to you. His death and his resurrection. Then he says this to the disciples. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I said, I go to the Father. Now that's kind of a little bit odd of a statement, you know. And one thing he says, now, remember I said to you, I'm going away and I'm coming back again. And then he said, now, if you loved me, you would have rejoiced at this news. When I said, I am going to the Father, you would rejoice at this. Now, what is it that should have caused them to rejoice? This is the whole thing about the ascension of Christ and the day of Pentecost, right? Jesus Christ paid once and for all for our sins on the cross. He won for us eternal life in his death and resurrection. He went on ahead to heaven in his ascension as the forerunner that we will later follow on, and he sat down at the right hand of God, and at God's right hand, he and his Father sent into the world the gift of the Holy Ghost with all of the graces and gifts and endowments that the Spirit of God gives to the church, so that what during the days of his earthly flesh Jesus could only do locally. You know, Jesus was doing all these wonderful works of God, but over in China they knew nothing about it, even though it was for their benefit as well. But Jesus, because of his in his state of humiliation, he was locally circumscribed. But once he was glorified, risen, glorified, and sitting at the right hand of God, now the risen Christ's ministry and mission is universal in its scope. And he sends his church throughout the world, and wherever the Word of God is, there is Jesus. And whatever the Word of God says, that's what Jesus is doing. So to know that was a great cause of rejoicing to the disciples, but at the time they missed it because they didn't really know what it really meant. They just knew that they were losing their beloved teacher, that they weren't going to see him anymore, and human emotions filled their hearts. But if they had realized what it meant for Jesus and for them, the glorification and the universal extension of the kingdom of Christ, they would have rejoiced. Now, that means that you and I, who have the Word, we have the Spirit of God, we know what Jesus is doing at the right hand of God, we know that he is still present among us, though he is not visibly present, we know that the work of the kingdom of God is flourishing in the hand of Jesus. He has not forgotten us, he has not abandoned us, he has not left us. And we are still receiving his ministration through his word and sacraments day by day until we go to be with him in glory. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.